Whenever you are, Pastor. Whenever you are.
All right. Did you hear? They're ready.
We're ready.
So that means I got to be ready. So that means you got to be ready. All right. So everybody got a bulletin? If so, open it up. If not, make sure that you grab one on the way out because there's lots of important information in here for you to be able to know right after our morning service this morning. We're having Sunday school. And remember, we have Sunday school for kids all the way through adults. And last week we did a little bit of review in the adult Sunday school class. Today we're going to hit some of the issues. At least that's what the Sunday school teacher told me we were going to do. So what's that? The sacredness of human life. You heard it from the Sunday school teacher himself. So Monday night, ladies, we have Bible study here at the church. And so hopefully you have your books. Hopefully you came to the introduction a couple Mondays ago, and you'll be ready to jump in tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m. here at the church, ladies' Bible study. Men, 6:30 on Tuesday, we have leadership team meeting. I hope you have that on your calendar. We have a lot of things that we need to talk about, and so I hope that you'll come ready to help do some of the work of the church. Tuesday night. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1 p.m., continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night, we have Awana. It's Hungry, Hungry Hippos. So if the zoo has hippos, we're bringing them in here Thursday night. No, I'm just kidding. The kids know what that is, and it'll be a great time. Saturday is Ladies Coffee Connection. So ladies, you got two activities this week. So I hope you have those on your calendar. Today we're taking pictures for the updated directory. If you want if you're new and you want your picture taken for the directory, which the answer is yes, you do. You need to see Christine. If you had your picture in the previous pictorial directory and you want a different picture, you need to see Christine. If your information has changed for the directory, we need you to fill out some information for us, and you can see Christine for that as well. And then next Sunday, we're going to be having church family dinner. Yay!
Yay!
Wow.
With chili leftovers? Or?
No, the chili's later.
That's later.
So
okay.
No chili for church family dinner. Okay, we don't want it 2 weeks in a row. Okay, so there's no theme. So bring a main dish and a salad or a dessert. Come and be prepared to stay and eat and fellowship with us around the table. So no theme for this week's church family dinner, this month's church family dinner. Then men, on October 15th, you will have a chili cook-off activity and a game night. Now somebody said, can I have my wife make the chili and I just bring it? And I said, nope. Well, who's going to know? And I said, God. And they went, right, okay. So, men, you have to do the work of putting the chili together to bring it for the chili cook-off. So I think this is going to be a great time. And men, there's a trophy. So if your chili is designated as the best, you're going to go home with a trophy. So, and it's not a traveling trophy, so you'll get to keep it from now till the rapture. And so that'll, or until you move and you give it to your kids to get rid of, okay, whichever the case may be. And then ministry leaders, there's an announcement in the bulletin for you. So if you're a ministry leader here, please make sure that you're paying attention to that. So many of you have been asking about Larson's in regard to this storm that they had. And so, according to Larson's, it was no big deal. Okay, all right. It just made a lot of noise. It just rattled the shutters. There was a lot of wind. They didn't really sleep well that night, so it wasn't that big of a deal. Now, the other day, I was watching the news, and the news reporter was interviewing some people that had been in the storm, and right behind them, you could see an alligator or two swimming down the street. It's like, you know what? To me, that would be a big, big deal. Okay? All right. And then I read something, I think yesterday, where a shark was seen swimming down a street that had been flooded.
No, thanks.
So it's like, you know what? We need to pray for them anyway, because they moved to Florida. And we need to be thankful that we didn't. Yeah. All right. So, and I know they're listening, so it's okay. All right. I'll get a text later on today, but it's okay. All right. You ready to sing? Ready to worship? Is that why you came? All right. Let's do it.
Would you stand with me? Go ahead and stand up. If it's more comfortable for you to sit, go ahead and sit. But otherwise, stand with me. Let's worship. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates and make way for the King. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, and every knee will bow before Him. Before the Lion and the Lamb. Give the Lord a round of applause. He is worthy of our praise. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. You have promised us a future and a hope. You have promised us life eternal. Lord, we are so thankful for that Lion, that conquering Lion, and that Lamb who will open the scroll. Lord, we trust You. We love You. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. While we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is so amazing, amazing. You have listed in your bulletin, Amazing Grace. We're actually going to sing a different song, Amazing Love, because God's love for us is so amazing that he sent his son to die on that cross for you and for me.
I am forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Come on, let's lift him up. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Come on, you are my King. You are my King. Can't sing it for anybody else. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love. Oh, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Verses 3 and 4.
in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine. Oh, wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Verse 4. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give. That is our act of worship to our good, good Father. You are good in all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. Never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I have seen your mercy. Follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be good.
said, you can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Oh, 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 oh. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
Is God good? All the time. He can't be anything but good. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Did you see how excited they are? Boy, if only we had a little bit of that excitement. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for today. Lord, thank you for reminding us of who you are, of how you love us, how you are so good to us. How not only are you just good, you are the embodiment of good. And Father, for that we are so grateful. Now, Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes will be open to what it is that you have in store for us for these next few moments. Father, may we learn from you. And Father, may it not just be concepts, but Father, help us to realize that it's truth. Father, may it not just be ideas, but Father, help us to be able to understand these are things that you want us to be able to know because you are so good. And you want us to be able to know more and more about you, more and more about your word. So, Father, I just pray that we're ready to receive all that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 26. Many of you just continue to just tell me how much you've been enjoying the study of the tabernacle and how you didn't realize all of the ramifications and all of the things that went along with the tabernacle and how we've been able to really get into it in depth. And boy, there's a whole lot more that we haven't even been able to get into. But it's a fascinating, fascinating thing for us to be able to study. So today in our study of the tabernacle, we are ready to look into the Holy of Holies. Now, for the high priest to minister into the Holy of Holies, he had to enter through the veil. Now, remember, there are three separate parts of the tabernacle. There was the outer court, which was everything that is on the outside of that white linen fence. And then when you went through the gate, you went through the door. Well, not you, only the priest could do that. But when they went through the door, which was always on the east side of the tabernacle, they went into the holy place. And then between the holy place and the most holy place, there was a veil. And only the high priest, once a year, could go through that veil into the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. It's known by both names. They're both the same place. So you have the outer court, you have the holy place, and then you have the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And the veil was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 26. So let's talk about this veil. So we're going to read from verses 31 down through verse 33. And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. And you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold, on four bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. So there was this barrier, and the barrier was known as the veil. And the barrier was between God and mankind, and it was placed there in the tabernacle. And remember, we talked about this veil was a very thick veil or curtain. In fact, it was so thick, it was so massive that two teams of oxen could not pull it apart. It was that heavy. It was that well built. Now, the veil was there to protect the people from entering into the presence of God unworthily, not to protect God from the people. So keep that in mind. That it wasn't there to protect God from the people. It was there to protect the people from entering into the presence of God unworthily. So let's look at some things about this veil. First, let's look at the definition of the veil. The word veil means something hidden. So there were things inside past the veil that only the high priest was able to see. I don't want to call them ordinary priests, but I don't have any other way right now to be able to describe them. The ordinary priest could not even go beyond that veil. They had no idea what it looked like beyond that. The people of Israel couldn't go beyond that veil. They had no idea what it was that looked like. Oh, they had been told some things, but not everything about what happened, what went on, what was beyond that veil. And so remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the second set of stone tablets? Because remember, he broke the first set because of the situation with the golden calf. He had to put a veil over his face to hide the glory of his countenance because he had been in the presence of God. And in the tabernacle, the veil hid the glory of God that hovered above the mercy seat. And when we talk about the Ark of the Covenant, and when we talk about the mercy seat, we'll learn more about this glory of God that hovered over the mercy seat. Let's talk about the position of the veil. The veil hung in front of the Ark of the Covenant along the east wall of the most holy place. Now, this veil was hung. So remember, the tabernacle was not a stationary structure. It was not a permanent structure. It was transportable. It was able to be taken down. It was able to be put back up. And whenever the cloud of God's presence, the cloud of God's glory began to move, that was the signal that they had to, what? They had to gather together those that were given the responsibility of tearing down the tabernacle, getting things prepared for it to be able to move. And then those who were given the responsibility of carrying the pieces of furniture, carrying the parts of the tabernacle, they had to be ready to be able to go into place. So can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine all of a sudden you're just ordinarily camping out, you know, on the outside of the outer court and you're there by your three tribes, you know, because there was four sides, three tribes on every side, which makes how many? 12. Even I can figure that out because I've been practicing that. And so imagine just camping out, and then all of a sudden the announcement comes over the loudspeaker. The cloud is moving. So those of you responsible, please show up to be able to tear down the tabernacle and be ready to transport it. No, they didn't have a loudspeaker. So it was like, is the cloud moving? I think the cloud's moving. Did you see the cloud move? I think the cloud's moving. We better report to the tabernacle and we better start tearing things down. And in Numbers chapter 4, it tells us that 8,500 Israelites were responsible in some way, shape, or form for taking care of transporting, taking it down, transporting it, setting it back up. That's a lot of people, isn't it, to be able to do that. So this was a huge undertaking. And in that 8,500, it also included the priests that were allowed to minister inside the tabernacle. But 8,500. In fact, as I was doing research on this, it said that it took 300 men to take down the veil, to put it into the ability to be able to transport it, and then those same 300 men to put it back up whenever the cloud stopped and they needed to rebuild the tabernacle. That's how massive this veil was. 300 people. Can you imagine the organization? Can you imagine the details? Can you imagine the orchestration that had to be in place for these 300 men to be able to work together to take this thing down and to put it back up? Amazing, isn't it? I think that really tells us that God is a God of what? Order, not chaos. Because everything worked just exactly the way that it was supposed to. Whenever they tore it down, whenever they transported it, and whenever they set it back up again, it all worked the way that God had decided. So behind this veil, the high priest went in and ministered only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And not a word was ever shared of what he saw there. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor, how do you know that? How do you know that the high priest didn't come out and tell the other priest? How do you know that the other priest, when they went back to their camp, didn't tell the other people that were camping there with them? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 tells us that. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, it says, now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. What was that earthly place? The tabernacle. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was the second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak now in detail. So even up to the writing of the book of Hebrews, those things that were beyond the veil were not, and done beyond the veil were not in detail spoken. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. Now every priest who entered beyond that veil, entered there, it was reminded of the judgment that fell upon Nadab and Abihu when they were careless in their ministry as priests. Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 through 4 tells us what happened to Nadab and Abihu. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near. Carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. Now, how would you have liked being the ones to have to go in and get them out, knowing that God had burned them for being irresponsible? You see, entering beyond the veil was only done in reverence, in careful obedience, and with extreme seriousness by the priest. For they knew that God is an awesome, powerful, and holy God. If they missed anything in their preparation and then took one step inside that Holy of Holies, it would be their last step on this earth. You see, God takes sin seriously. He takes it so seriously that he gave the best that heaven had to offer to be able to be the remedy for mankind's sin, to be able to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes it so seriously that he offered his one and only Son to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior, my Savior. for those who believe in him as Savior. As the high priest of Israel went behind the veil, he came into the very presence of God himself. He looked in awe at the light of God's glory. He trembled in fear and reverence at God's awesome power and holiness. He quickly sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice and then had to quickly turn and leave. And he was not allowed to go back in until the following year. And remember, we already talked about the fact that the priest, they would tie a rope around his ankle and he would wear bells attached to the bottom of his priestly garment. And so that they could, as the other priests were ministering in the holy place, they could hear the high priest ministering in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And if all of a sudden those bells stopped ringing, they knew that the priest, was doing his job irresponsibly. And God had put him to death. And they would go and grab that rope and they would begin to pull him out from underneath that veil and then another priest would have to be chosen. Another high priest would have to be chosen. And that high priest would not be allowed to go back in for a whole nother year to be able to do what God had required. Wow. Does God take sin serious? Yeah. Does he still take sin serious today? Yes. He does. Let's look at the material of the veil. The veil was made of fine twine linen. You have a picture of it on the front of your bulletin. And I think Jeremy has a picture of it there up on the screen. The veil was made of fine twine linen, the same as the door or the gate to the tabernacle, and just like the inner coverings within the tabernacle. The veil hung from gold hooks supported by four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold that was anchored into four sockets of silver, and it was as skillfully woven as man could make it. No doubt the workers were given wisdom by God in the making of this beautiful veil. And according to my research, this veil has never been duplicated. The pictures of the cherubim woven into the veil were images of angelic beings of the highest order. Their character, beauty, and power surpass human description. This is just a picture. This is just an artist's concept of what it looked like. We have no idea of how magnificent and how beautiful and how wonderful this veil was done, how intricate it was put together. It was as if God placed a continuous barrier or guard before the entrance, saying, "This far, but no further." But fortunately for us today, that veil is no longer in place. That barrier is no longer in place. So let's take the rest of our time this morning, and let's look at the tearing of the veil. For 1,500 years, the veil hung between the holy place and the most holy place, not just in the tabernacle, but then on into the succeeding temples. For all these years, the ordinary priests never saw what was behind this veil. To have gone behind it for them would have meant certain death. For the high priest to go behind it on a day that was not specified, it would have meant certain death. And then one day, in the temple, in Jerusalem, a strange sound and a strange sight happened. The veil was being torn from the top to the bottom. This veil that was so heavy, that was so intricate, that was so incredibly made, that it took 300 men to put it up and to take it down. That two teams of oxen could not pull it apart. But that day in Jerusalem, inside the temple, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. And the rocks were split." Mark chapter 15, verses 37 and 38 says, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Luke chapter 23, verses 44 and 45 says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." Has the barrier been removed? Was the veil torn in two? I think so, right? God's word tells us over and over and over again that is what happened. And at the same exact time, outside the city of Jerusalem, a greater event was taking place. In fact, the greatest event of time or eternity, namely the death of Jesus on the cross, as he became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Before this veil was ripped from top to bottom at the death of Jesus on the cross, mankind had no direct access to God's presence. You get that, right? So Jesus established the open door into the very presence of God so that we could go to him at will and not have to depend upon some human priest or human spiritual leader to go to God for us. The barrier has been removed. The veil that separated mankind from God has been done away with because of Jesus dying on the cross. And for us as believers, we have direct access to God. From that moment forward, all believers in Jesus as Savior have direct access to God. We all have direct access to the throne of God whenever we need. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Notice the veil in all of the times that it was taken down and all of the times that it was put back up. For all of the centuries that it hung in the temples, three different temples after the entrance of the Israelites back into the land of Canaan. All of those years, the temple, the veil remained in place until the blood of Jesus was shed on that cross, until his body was broken to pay the debt of sin that God required for mankind's sin. The moment that he cried out, "It is finished," and breathed his last, the veil was torn in two. The barrier was gone. Jesus opened the door of access for every single one of us who believe into God's presence, into direct access now to his very throne. From the moment the veil being torn into, the shadow of God's presence gave way to the substance of direct access to his throne. The tearing of the veil was God's ultimate, that the approach to him is now open, that the barrier had been removed. But that direct access is only through Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, remember what Jesus said? Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus knew that while he was on that cross, when he breathed his last, when he cried, "It is finished," he knew that the veil in the temple was going to be torn in two. He knew that the barrier was going to be removed. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." At God's proper time, that barrier was removed. Not any sooner. Not any later. At his proper time. And access to God brings grace. Access to God brings support. Access to God brings help. God is approachable. So as believers, we need to take full advantage of the privilege of prayer. We have the wonderful privilege of approaching God directly. And I think I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. We can approach God directly anytime, anywhere, about anything. But many believers have erected a veil in their lives. They've erected a veil in their hearts. They've erected the veil of casual commitment. They've erected the veil of lost love. In 1896, Mr. Judson Van Deventer had erected a veil in his own life. He was not walking in God's Spirit. But while singing in the choir during a revival service in Sharon, Pennsylvania, he knew that God was calling him back. After that service, his life became different. He strengthened his relationship with God and his word, and later became an evangelist, ministering in America, England, and Scotland. Some years later, he wrote his testimony in a hymn. And we've sang this hymn. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. So class, does all mean all? Does it mean everything? Does it mean totally? Does it mean completely? But a lot of us, what sometimes we live our lives as what? Oh, I've given God some, but I'm going to keep back some. No, his testimony was, I surrender all. So what did we learn from this morning? Well, hopefully we learned there's no longer a barrier blocking our entrance into the presence of God. We are encouraged, even instructed, to boldly go into the presence of God and to bring our prayers and our praises to him anytime and anywhere. And this is possible because Jesus made the way on that cross. And remember, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we are made righteous by believing in Jesus as Savior. And when we believe, he becomes our advocate and our intercessor, because we can go directly to God. What a privilege. Not only should it be the privilege that we enjoy, it should be the practice that we enjoy of being able to go before the throne of God with our cares, with our concerns, with our praises, with our thanksgiving, with our worship. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. And Father, I am so thankful that the barrier has been removed. Father, that veil was torn into. And Father, we have direct access to you. We can sing our praises to you. We don't have to tell them to a spiritual leader and then hope that he's going to take them to you. We don't have to bring our cares and concerns to a spiritual leader and hope that he'll remember to be able to bring them to you. We can come into your presence. We can come into your throne boldly, anytime, anywhere, about anything. We can pray and we can praise directly to you. Oh, Father, may that be the way that we live our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for changing the last song of the service, Pastor. Would you all stand with me as we sing, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Myself to Thee, fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender. I surrender
your voices. I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.